This morning, we're going to be speaking on the subject of the law of the harvest. All the songs that we have sung so far point to the blessing of salvation. What would it be if we could not be saved? What would it be like if we would just die in our sins and be lost for all eternity? But no matter what we've done in life, the blood of Jesus Christ has the power to cleanse us from all sin. Where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. And the wonderful thing about our salvation is that after we have trusted the Lord Jesus as Savior and we become new creatures in Christ Jesus, He has not left us on this earth without direction. He has provided for us the Word of God. And the Word of God is our light, our lamp, our source of direction. It is our manual for life. You know, when you buy a brand new car, one of the things that the salesman recommends is that you go home, open the glove box, take out that little packet and read the owner's manual. Because if you don't read and apply the owner's manual, that car is not going to last very long. It's not going to perform the way the manufacturer intended for it to perform. And it's the same way with the Word of God. Being a Christian is not an easy life, but it is a wonderful, blessed, rewarding life. And if you're here this morning and you've never trusted Christ as Savior, well, you're in the right place. And Jesus said that all have sinned, or the Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So we're all sinners in here this morning. There's nobody in here that's perfect. But for many of us, we understood that our sin had a price. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death. So that's separation from God for all eternity. But God commendeth His love, or demonstrated His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Not while we were good people, because He wouldn't have died for anybody had He died for good people. Because the Bible also says in Romans chapter 3 that there is none good, no, not one. So He died in our place to pay the debt for sin. And then the Bible tells us that He rose from the dead to conquer death so that you and I can also have victory over death, hell, and the grave. And then He went back to heaven. And then what happened was the New Testament was added to the Old Testament so that now we have the full canon of Scripture in 66 books, written by 44 men over a period of 1,500 years across three continents in three different languages. So it was impossible for all those men to collaborate together to ensure that the Bible would have the congruity and agreement and accuracy that it has. So we know then that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be perfect, not perfect sinlessly, but mature, that the man of God might be perfect. Let me start again. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. I'm a robot. And is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be perfect, truly furnished unto every good work. I'm getting old. Bear with me. So God gave us His Word to ensure that we would have a blueprint by which we should live. And there are principles and lessons in God's Word that guides us in our decision making, guides us in our wisdom, guides us in our pattern of life, our habits. And one of them falls in Galatians chapter 6. And this chapter is so chock full with wonderful truths, but I want to zero in on just a few verses this morning that focus on the law of the harvest. One of the most fascinating studies is the study of the laws of the universe. Because the laws of the universe are predictable and constant. They never change. And that is why many human beings who have taken up science as their profession have run into God and have had to believe in him, because only God could have created this universe the way it is. Dr. Wernher von Braun, who is the father of the space program, said this: "The natural laws of the universe are so precise that we do not have any difficulty building a spaceship and sending a person to the moon. We can tell the time of the landing to a fraction of a second. That's because of the laws of the universe." And he had no doubt about that statement being accurate. And it's not as though he was a prophet or that he was clairvoyant, but he was talking about the laws of the universe, and a law is something that will definitely happen. So it's predictable. There are so many other laws in our universe today that we could just mention to show the power and wonder of God. The law of relativity, the law of gravity. I'm sure you've heard of Felix Baumgartner. 5 years ago, took the capsule 25 miles up into the stratosphere, jumped out. If it wasn't for gravity, he would still be up there. But gravity pulled him back to Earth at 875 miles an hour. He said at one point he had lost control of his body movements, and he felt that the blood was going to just gush out through his eyes, because that was the most vulnerable part of his body as he was plummeting to Earth at that point. And after 4.5 minutes, he pulled his parachute and came down to Earth safely for the last 6,000 feet. Gravity, it's a law. You stand on the top of this building and you jump off, you're not going to have a good landing because of the law of gravity. There's the law of polarity, the law of gender, the law of rhythm. Everything has a season. There's the law of aerodynamics that has created an opportunity where you and I can travel all over the world because of an airplane. And the law of aerodynamics was discovered because of the curvature that God had put on the wings of birds. And scientists recognized that that curvature had a top that was like that and a bottom that was flat, which meant that as the bird goes through the air, it splits those molecules. And the ones that are going on the top of the wing are moving slower than the ones that are going on the bottom. And that creates lift. And that's how we have the aircraft today. All aircrafts, even helicopters, work on that principle. And it's because of the law of aerodynamics. Predictable constants. Precise, absolute laws. But in the natural realm and in the spiritual realm, we have another law that we want to look at this morning, and that's the law of the harvest. And it's found in Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 through 9. Paul, writing to the Galatians, said this: "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. He that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. He that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." That's the law of the harvest. Paul uses this natural, normal process of cultivation and farming to teach a valuable lesson about life. The farmer tills the soil, plants the seed, reaps the harvest, and simply put, that's the law of the harvest. We wouldn't be able to have a healthy diet without that law. But then also in life, all of us sow seeds throughout our entire existence. Seeds of speech, seeds of actions, seeds of motives. And the Bible is clear regarding the law of the harvest when it comes to these seeds. Very simple and absolutely guaranteed, we will reap the harvest of consequences or the benefits of our actions on whatever seeds that we sow. And this reality should really motivate us to ask the Holy Spirit to guide us in our thoughts, in our actions, in our motives, in our will, so that we will end up reaping a godly harvest. And so this morning I want us to consider three absolutes in the law of the harvest. The first absolute is this: Be not deceived. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. That's so simple. We take it for granted. But when we apply it to our lives, it takes on a kind of a different meaning. Whatever seed we sow in our lives, we're going to reap that particular harvest. Let's look at how the farmer looks at it or considers it. If I plant a mango tree is going to grow. Amen? If I plant a watermelon seed, watermelons are going to grow. If I plant tomato seeds, tomatoes are going to grow. If I plant cucumber seeds, now you and I pronounce it differently. I don't want to tell you how Jamaicans pronounce that word because you're going to laugh at me. But you pronounce it cucumbers, am I right? So if you plant those seeds, that's what's going to grow. And then we reap the benefit of it. It is predictable and constant that you will always get the specific fruit or vegetable based on the specific seed that you've sown. You're not going to get an orange tree growing from a mango seed. Well, the same thing is true in the spiritual realm. He that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And where does our sowing begin? It all begins in our thoughts. Because the Bible tells us in Proverbs 23, verse 7, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So that's where it all begins. As we think, so we are. So as we consider the seeds that we sow, our thoughts have to be taken into consideration. Our thoughts ought to be at the top of our list of priorities. Because as we think, so we are. Stephen Covey wrote these words: sow a thought, reap an action. Sow an action, reap a habit. Sow a habit, reap a character. Sow a character, reap a destiny. It starts with our thoughts. And I say, Holy Spirit, guide me in my thoughts. Holy Spirit, guide me in my actions. Holy Spirit, guide me in my speech. If I think the wrong thing and I dwell on it long enough, there could come a time that I act on what I'm thinking of. So as we think, so shall we be. Our thoughts shape who we are. Paul put it this way: finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue or if there be any praise, think on these things. Philippians 4, verse 8. So our thought life is going to determine what seeds we sow. What I say potentially has the power to build up or tear down. All my actions matter whether people are around me or not, because God knows about them. And you see, the truth of the matter is that for a law to be effective, there must be someone that is enforcing that law. I didn't see any officers on the turnpike this morning, but my father was my officer. Because you know these boards that they put up as you're driving along, they'll tell you the speed limit that they're going. So we're driving along, we're having a conversation. All of a sudden I hear him on the side. Wow, that poster says you're doing 80. Speed limit is 70. All right, Pops. So I backed it down a little bit. But the truth is, what effect would those laws have if there was no one enforcing them? So at 70 miles an hour at the speed limit, we're going 120. Think of the carnage that would take place on the road. But thank the Lord, we have law enforcement officers. Well, God enforces his laws. All the laws of the universe revolve around the power of God. And he's going to make sure that those laws are constant. He's sovereignly enforcing them. That's why the Bible says God is not mocked. God is not laughed at. God is not ridiculed. Whatever we sow, we're going to reap. It starts with our thoughts, and that is why the Bible tells us that we ought to cast down all imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Sow a thought, reap an action. There's a verse that's one of my favorite verses in Psalm chapter 19. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. God can help us with proper thinking if we submit our hearts and minds to him. So the first absolute is you reap what you sow. The second absolute is that you reap later than you sow. Any farmer will tell you that you've got to wait to see the harvest. You don't put orange seeds or a mango seed into the ground and expect to get up tomorrow morning and it's growing and bearing fruit. It takes quite a while. And that is where Christians especially get deceived. That's why he starts off by saying, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall also reap. And you know how we're deceived? We're deceived because time goes a long way before we see the tree blooming or the harvest coming. And so some people will say, well, the seeds that I've sown, I don't have to worry about because I don't see any harvest. Well, let me say this. It takes time for the harvest. You reap later than you sow. And so some people will say, look, it looks like I've gotten away with this because there is no consequence. Not true. Whatsoever you sow, that is what you're going to reap. So he says, don't be deceived by delayed judgment. I found a verse in Ecclesiastes that was so fitting to this. It says, because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the hearts of the sons of men is fully set on them to do evil. And that is how we get deceived. Nothing is happening. Nobody knows. No consequences. So let me go a little while longer. And that's how we can be deceived. Thank God for salvation. Because to carry a burden of a double life is not easy. But when we come face to face with the Lord Jesus, he can cleanse us from all sin and we can be on the path of righteousness. We can live a life that is godly and pure and sanctified unto him. But unfortunately, some folks get caught up in sin, you know, in temptation, in issues, in circumstances. One of the hardest calls that I got was just recently, and a gentleman called me up and he says, Hugh, my wife and I are going through some difficulties and we'd love for you to just meet with us. So I went and I met with them and older folks, but he had sown some seeds of indiscretion, is that a nice way to put it, politically correct, 5 years ago, and the chickens came home to roost. The harvest came, and it almost cost him his family. And so I had to meet with them and pray with them and talk to them about God's forgiveness and forgiving one another. And gradually, things got repaired. And thank the Lord, over a period of about 10 months, they're back together. And what hit me the hardest is that these folks are leaders in their church. So we as Christians are not exempt from the law of the harvest. And I think that's one of the reasons I prepared this message, because God wants us to realize that his laws are already in place and the consequences of breaking his laws are going to result in their own consequences. It's not as if to say he has us under his thumb or he's going to exact some kind of judgment. The consequence themselves will be a judgment to us. There's a recipe for danger when we try to live a double life and we think we're getting away with it, because there will come a day of harvest. Maybe not immediately, but absolutely eventually. And nobody can get away from the laws of God. There will be a day of reaping or of harvest. Thank God for 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The Bible also says that he that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh shall have mercy. We have a God that is just ready to cleanse and forgive us if we would just go to him and confess. And confessing doesn't mean to go and say, Lord, forgive me of all my sins. Forgive me of all my digressions. Forgive me of all my wrong thinking. No, we have to agree with God. God, forgive me for X, Y, and Z. We have to name it so that we hear ourselves acknowledging that that action is not right. That is when 1 John 1:9 becomes effective. If we confess or acknowledge that what we have done is wrong, then he's faithful to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And David, who knows much more than we do what it's like to be forgiven by God, said this, Thou, O Lord, art good and ready to forgive. He's sitting ready to say, My son, you are forgiven. And the Bible says that when we confess and forsake our sins, he casts our sins as far as the east is from the west. He never said north from south. Because if we start on the North Pole and we start heading south, eventually when we get to the South Pole, we start heading north again. So north and south eventually meet, but east and west never meet. You stand on the equator and you walk east, you will never confront west. You'd have to turn around. And that's why he said that our sins are separated from him as far as the east is from west and buried in the deepest sea, and he remembers them no more. Isn't God wonderful? What a wonderful God we serve. It's not the God. It's we who make the choices because we have a free will. We make the choice to obey or disobey. And the result or the consequences of our decisions and actions is the law of the harvest reacting naturally. That's the law of the harvest. If I go up on this roof and I'm not going to jump off. This is twice I'm saying it now, but I'm making a point. If I go up on the roof and I say, well, listen, Lord, just let gravity cease for a couple minutes. And I jump off thinking that gravity is just going to cease because I ask the Lord. I'm a fool because it's not going to cease. It is going to continue. If I plant an orange seed and promise that you can come over to eat mangoes in another 6 months, I'm a fool. Because if I sow orange seeds, I must get oranges. And consequently, if I am holding on to something in my life that I know is wrong, and I'm sowing those seeds of disobedience, I'm a fool to think that I'm not going to reap the consequences. I told our young people today, we talked about Esau, how he took the bowl of soup and just gave up freely his birthright, which was the most valuable document to a Jewish boy. And I said to them, never sacrifice the future on the altar of immediate. Don't choose something that's temporary to destroy that which is permanent in the future. So we will reap what we sow. We will reap later than we sow. And then the last one, we will always reap more than we sow. I'm 63, and my sister is almost 10 years younger than I am. So I was almost 10 when she was born. And the day that she was born, my grandmother planted a mango tree in our lawn, in the front lawn. So my sister would be 54 now, I think. I don't even remember, but whatever. We all united, had a reunion, a family reunion, and went back to Jamaica. And we took our dad to see the house that he had built. That's the house where the mango tree is planted. And there's a big wall now, so we had to stand on a log to look over. Do you know that that little mango tree was still there? And that little mango tree has borne hundreds of mangoes. Hundreds of mangoes. Maybe 1,000 or more mangoes. That one little seed grew that one little tree that bore all those mangoes. What does that say about the seeds of our life? because we will always reap more than we sow. One fruit often yields one seed, but one seed often yields multiple fruits. And it's the same thing. That's the law of the harvest. It's the same thing with our lives. We reap consequences, but by the way, we also reap benefits. You know, this passage is so often used to kind of hammer home to us, you know, be careful of the consequences in your life. Be careful of the choices in your life, the decisions in your life. But listen, he says in the last verse, verse 9, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. So there are benefits that we reap because of the seeds that we sow. It's not all negative. But we have to make the decision as to what type of seeds we're sowing. And so I believe that the Lord wrote it to warn us, but he also wrote it to encourage us to stay faithful to the Lord, especially during difficult times. Don't give up. We're almost there. We're almost there. And we want to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. So don't give up. We need to be encouraged this morning. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Let us be encouraged. The Bible says that it is required in stewards that a man and a woman be found faithful, and boys and girls. I think of these young people, they have such a bright future. Just let us stay the course. But if you're here this morning and you're struggling in an area of your life that you just don't think you can let go, well, listen, there is coming a day of harvest, and it's not going to be worth it. The harvest is a predictable constant. And you know what I've learned? Sin always takes you further than you want to go. It keeps you longer than you want to stay. And it will always cost you more than you were willing to spend. It's just not worth it. But praise the Lord, it's never too late to just confess and forsake and get back on track. Pick yourself up. Dust yourself off. Start all over again. 1 John 1:9. I think of my life and the seeds that I have sown, and the impact and influence that I have had on lives, especially on my children. And this is what it really boils down to. And it makes me realize that I've got to ensure that the seeds that I sow in my grandchildren will result in a good harvest. You know, when I was in college, I tried to make a little extra money because I was, man, I tell you, when you go to college, you are broke. You're so poor, you have 10 O's between the P and the R. So I found a little product called All Food Tabs. It was a dietary supplement. And I would sell them, and they had a downline. It was really a pyramid thing. You know how that goes, but they call it, what was it, a proper term? I think I wrote it down. Profit sharing, that's it. It's really a pyramid. So whoever I signed up in my downline, whatever they sell, I get a profit. And I tried. I sold one and two, and I think my parents bought like two cases, and it sat in their basement for years, you know, helping out a poor student. But I found this one guy, and I sold it to him, and he was hooked. And through him in my downline, I made $4,000. Now, can you imagine if you witness to people and you lead somebody to the Lord and they become a missionary, and they go out and they win many souls for Christ? You know, they're in your downline. I hate to put it like that, but your faithfulness impacted that person's life, and that person impacted thousands of lives. And then out of the thousand that they impacted, that's how it works. We always reap more than what we sow. What a blessing. Adoniram Judson was killed on the mission field, and he had never won one soul to Christ, but through his death, 8,000 people got saved. And the Bible, the history tells us that 100 churches were founded. So even though we might not even know the impact that we make in this life, God is keeping the record. I want to make sure that the seeds that I am sowing in my life are creating a positive impact and influence on those that I come in contact with. Recently, I read a book written by Wright Thompson. The title of the book was, or is, The Secret History of Tiger Woods. And it delved into the tremendous impact made on Tiger's life by his father, Earl. And all the destructive decisions that we have seen, unfortunately, play out on television because he's such a world figure. I personally believe that it was because of the seeds that his dad sowed in his life. The example that he set. Great golfer, but not a good track record in his life and in his character, unfortunately. That made an impact on me when I read it. The law of the harvest mandates that we're going to reap what we sow. So I say, Lord, be merciful unto me. Be gracious unto me. Help me to be more conscious and aware of the seeds that I'm sowing every day. At home, at work, in private. And help me always to remember that it starts within my own thoughts. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. He that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. He that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. What a passage, huh? A gentleman said to me today, he says, you know, when you come here and speak to us, you're very reflective. I always try to speak from my heart, because if I speak from my heart, I'm going to reach your heart. And I know what this verse says to me, what it speaks to me, and the power that it has on my life to try and walk a straight and narrow path. My prayer is that it will do the same to you. And listen, if you're here this morning and you've never trusted the Lord Jesus, these are the wonderful principles that are in the Word of God. And once you get saved, the Spirit of God opens up these truths to you so that it can help you to make the right decisions, so that one day you too will hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Amen. All right, thank you for listening. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our Father, I thank you that you're a God ready to forgive. I thank you that you're a God that's ready to restore. But Lord, you're not going to force us to do anything. You give us a free will, which means we have to make that decision to confess and forsake. We have to make the decision to rise every morning and yield ourselves to the Spirit of God so that we're controlled by God's Spirit. That's the victory. For each one of us, Lord, especially the older ones, we have already sown so many seeds. Some of them we regret. Lord, there's still time to sow seeds that can transform others, impact others, influence others. So may these verses burn in our hearts and give us that encouragement. And for those who have been faithful in serving you, who are sowing the seeds that are bringing honor and glory to you, help them, Lord, to be encouraged this morning. Help them not to be weary in well-doing, for in due season they will reap if they faint not. Thank you for this passage. Have your will and way now during the invitation and in our lives, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
On behalf of everyone at Beacon Baptist Church, we thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your heart and life has been impacted through the biblical truths of this message. If you have questions or would like more information, please contact us through our website at beaconbaptistchurch.org. That's beaconbaptistchurch.org. May the Lord bless you.